better to hold it real close to your mouth.
Today is June 2nd, 1994, and I'm with Stuart Connor, and my name is Grant Bulltail, and we're driving towards Pryor right now, and we're at near the Fritzler Ranch, and I was telling him about a mythological creature that the Crows called a Buluksa, and Curtis mentioned in his book, Indians of the North Americans, and he tells about this creature, and he calls it a blue horse, and he tells about the time where a war party at the junction of Bighorn River and Yellowstone River, where a member of the war party got caught by this creature, and it's also mentioned by Plenicus in his book by Linderman. And he said that they were crossing the Missouri River during the night when one of his friends was caught by one of these creatures, and he said, "My friends, leave me. I'm done for. I'm caught by the sea water beast." And Plenicus rode over and kicked this thing, which he said felt slippery and felt feathery. And then when he kicked it, he immediately released his friend. So it's been mentioned in books twice, but they don't have any description of it. And I learned about this creature when I was a little boy living on near Dunmore between Hardin and Crow Agency. And my grandfather, Kumsa Brett, told me that when he first moved to that area and lived there, he had a bunch of horses, and he was watering his horses one day when one of these creatures caught one of his horses, and he caught him by his nose as he was drinking, and then he said the body of the horse was elevated, and this creature took him around the water while this horse was still alive and kicking, but then eventually drowned him, and this is kind of the routine of these beasts. Whenever they catch human beings, they would catch him by the ankles and race them, would not immediately drown them, but would take him in a deep water and then slowly drown them. So this is where I first heard about them, and I thought they were just mythological creatures that that the people made up to scare the children from swimming too much. And they say that the time they would capture people would be in June or whenever the rosebuds are in bloom, the wild rosebuds, and they say that's when they have their young and that's when they're the most dangerous, and they always said don't swim when the rosebuds are in bloom, and I never believed them, although I was kind of scared of them, but when I was about 10 years old, my dad told me that when he was going to Billings with my grandfather, Simon Bulltail, and six other Indians from Pryor, and two non-Indians. The driver of the stagecoach was a non-Indian, and his shotgun was a non-Indian. And as they were going to Pryor, which was about 11 o'clock in the morning when they got to this place, about 14 miles east of Pryor, or north of Pryor, on Pryor Road, there is kind of a little lagoon or a kind of a slough there, which was the old riverbed, but when they put in the railroad, they cut off a portion of the Pryor Creek, and the Pryor Creek changed the channel, but that place is always full of water, and it's kind of a brackish green water, and it looks dirty water. And he said my grandfather, Simon Bulltail, was talking about this creature when they were driving to Billings, and here that creature was coming out of the water, and he said it almost had a human-like face, had a huge jaw, and he said fierce looking teeth like an alligator's, but he's a small round head with great big jaws and a long neck. And the front feet are shorter and His hind legs are longer, but they're not crooked, they're straight. They almost look like human arms. And he said his tail was real long. He said, and then he said I saw spikes on the top of his head, which were about the size of an index fingernail. But then they get bigger, and in the middle of his back, the spikes are about the size of a human hand. And then they get smaller again until at the tip of the tail, they're real small again. And the color is hard to describe. It's kind of like olive drab in places, and olive drab color, and then like real dark green in portions, and then real black in places. And the skin is kind of loose around the body, and the body is short. It's not too long. The body itself, it's, I'd say, about 3 feet long, and it's rounded. The body is rounded, and but the tail is real long. It must be about 4 to 5 feet long. It looks like an alligator tail. And when I saw it crossing the road, the tail never touched the ground, which was kind of surprised me. I wondered why it never touched the ground, being as long as it was. And I seen the rear end of this creature as it was going into Prior Creek. It was on the left-hand side of the road as I was going towards Prior. And I saw a real, I stopped right behind it and looked at it real good. I had a good view of it, the tail and the back part. And my dad saw the front end. And my daughter's stellar bull tail was with me at that time. And this was in 1986, in about June 14th, I think. And so we had a good look at it. And I did not believe in this until I saw it with my own eyes. And I also understand that a man called Paul Nomi, who was on Maiden, the road crew in Prior, was driving a great big leveler, kind of a snowplow thing, in the summertime, was going to Crow when he, at the same place, he saw this creature go this way. So it's been sighted by other people other than myself and my dad. But all the crows know about this creature, but nobody's seen it alive anyway. Everybody that's seen it close was captured by this thing and probably eaten. They say they eat people. And crows fear them, is one of the things that they fear. They, in the old days and even today, and we're coming to this place right now, right here. My dad saw it at this place right here, and right by the hill there on the north end, northwest end of the road. And then I saw it right here. It was coming out this here and then going in here. There's a piece of water that's right here. He was going in there when I saw him, when me and my daughter saw him. It's probably a prehistoric animal that exists today on Prior Creek, because Prior Creek is so isolated and it's so brushy that I don't think people, you know, go in that water. They don't go there. It's so brushy and it's hard to get to. So nobody lives near Prior Creek or goes on it. Whereas on Bighorn River and Little Horn River, there's a lot of people that live by the water, and they go in there to fish. So I would think that this creature does not live there anymore. And that's why it exists here on Prior Creek. And we're coming to Edward Birdhead's place, which is about a mile west or south of this place, this slough, which used to be a part of Prior Creek.
Where
me and my daughter saw the creature. And anyway, right by him, it used to be an old crossing that the Indians used to cross going to Hay Creek. And my dad told me one time where a man called Plain Bull, who had been shot in the hip in a battle, and used to limp real bad. And he was swimming there one time, and it was hot summer day, probably June. Anyway, he was swimming there when one of these creatures caught him and almost drowned him, but Plain Bull's medicine was Buffalo Bull, and he used his medicine to drag this creature out of the water. And after he dragged him out, he put him back in the water. This probably happened in about 1920s, or maybe between 1910 and 1920. So there's been history of this beast that has been sighted in this area. As an afterthought, I was talking about when my dad saw it. This was in 1909. Go this way. They were in a stagecoach when they saw this creature, and my dad was about 7 years old when he saw it. And my grandfather, Simon, I don't know when he saw it, but he saw it prior to this time. And they used to live on Prayer Creek near the junction of US 87 and Prayer Road. Just drive this way, and it's easier that way. And because my grandfather traveled this road so much, that's probably why he saw that creature. My dad just saw the front end. When he was coming out of the water, they saw the front end. And he said he had a round head. He said as big as a man's head. And he said he's got tiny nostrils. And he said his eyes were real big, and the eyes were yellow. And he said he never blinked his eyes. And he said it looked ferocious and mean. He said it, and then he said that his teeth looked like an alligator's teeth, real sharp. And he said his jaws were huge. He said it's almost like a bulldog. He said if it ever catches, you know, bites anything, it would tear it apart or would not let go, you know, would not easily let go, as big as his jaws were. And he said his hands, the front end almost looked like human hands, and fingers almost look are human, five digits and human-like fingers, but they're shorter and thicker, and fingernails are yellow and long. So that's all I know about this creature. From what I saw, my dad didn't say anything about the color or the skin, but I wanted to look at it real good because I wanted to draw it or, you know, paint it sometime, which I never have. My idea is to give it to the people in the Museum of the Rockies, to Mr. Jack Horner. So I wanted to see what the color and the skin looked like, and the skin is loose. On the body part is loose, and also on the neck is elongated, looked like almost as long as my hand, and not too thick, probably a little bit thicker than a man's hand, arm, I mean. Anyway, it's as long as a man's arm, so it's long, and then the body itself is not long, it's about 3 feet or 2.5 feet long, but it's thick and rounded, and the color is almost like an olive drab color, and then real dark green, and then and in places it's where it's wrinkled, it's really black. So when it's in the water in this slough, it's brackish green, it would be hard to see. It's perfectly camouflaged. And the tail is about 3 feet long, and it looks like an alligator's tail, except that the spikes are right in the middle. From the middle of his head, the spikes are about the size of an index fingernail, and then they get gradually larger until in the middle of the body the spike is all, as big as a man's hand, and then they get smaller again until at the end of the tail. Yeah, it's diamond shaped. The spikes are triangular. And then the thing that I noticed is that as long as the tail was, it never touched the ground. I seen it when it was in the middle of the road, and then I stopped about 50 yards away, and then I realized what it was, and then I drove up, and then my daughter saw it, and then she was scared, so I didn't want to scare her too bad. And she kept saying, "Is that a dinosaur? Is that a dinosaur?" Because it kind of looked like a dinosaur. So, and then I slowed down and I said, "It's just a turtle." So I stopped right behind it, and it probably does not hear. It was watching up the river. He was watching up the river, and he never turned around to look at me. And I stopped right behind him, and so the tail never touched the ground as it was going down the road and then into the water. So, and this was in 1986. The proper way to spell the word Buluxe in Crow would be B-U-U-L-U-K, and the stress would be on the second U, and then S-A-A. I'm pretty sure that's the proper way to spell it. B-U-U-L-U-K-S-A-A. And the word is so ancient that it's hard to translate. Usually the names of animals that exist today can be broken down in Crow as descriptive of the animal, but this word cannot be broken down. The word is so ancient. We don't know what it means. It's just the name of this thing. Prayer Creek. On Prayer Creek, near the mountains, is the old Indian trail. It's coming from the east, from like Bighorn River and Little Horn River. The trail is pretty close to the foot of the mountains, coming through Dry Head, the Bighorn River, Dry Head, and then it goes along the foothill of the mountains, and later it was called the Bozeman Trail. And then there's another trail that came up from Yellowstone River, and it follows parallel Prayer Creek. And that was the old Indian trail that came from the Hidatsas, or the Hidatsa Indians of North Dakota. And I'm pretty sure that's the road that Lewis and Clark used when they came to this area. And that's the road that the Indians always used coming from the east or going to the Hidatsas. Anyway, that's one of the roads. And then there's another road that goes from Prayer to the Yellowstone River to the Billings area. And the Crow Indians used to call Billings the Big Hole on account of the rims. So that's one of the roads also. And then there's another road that goes parallel to Miagade Creek, or Woman Creek, right here where we're going, right by Plenty Coos Park. And there used to be a road that goes up there, and then on McCormick Hill there is a valley that cuts straight across to Laurel, to Clark's Fork, and that's another road that the Indians use all the time. It's kind of like a natural road. The road is the valley is wide and it's deep, so that when the weather is bad, when the Crows used to travel in it, they did not feel the weather when it was storming, raining, or snowing real hard. Anyway, that's the road that they used to use all the time, or when they were hiding from somebody, that's what they would travel. And then the road also goes through Prayer Gap, through the mountains, going to Clark's Fork or Shoshone River. So it was kind of like a hub that met here. And there is a tunnel about a mile above where I live, And about a mile below the Prayer Mountains, west of the Prayer Mountains, there is a tunnel there, and there are some names and some dates, and the date is 1868, and the date is March and April, and there are several dates on there, and there are some inscriptions on there, and it says, the worst disaster, and then the rest of the word is wiped out. And then they put the names of the people that died April or March or whatever. So the story is that a wagon train went through here in 1868. People from Illinois went through here, and they came down with smallpox or flu or something, and most of the people got wiped out here, and they used that cave for kind of a hospital for the people that were sick. Because it was nice and cool in that cave, they kept them there, the people that were sick probably. But I've never seen any grave sites where people were buried in that area. It's rocky, so I presume that when they died, they might have buried them in near Prior Creek, where the ground is softer, or maybe they came back and took the bones away later, the people that survived. But anyway, that's one of the sites that we want to take photographs of. And on Prayer Gap, we're on Prayer Gap right now going west, and you can see where the road comes down, kind of angles down, and then makes a sharp curve. In that area, they buried seven Chinese coolies that worked on the tunnel when they were building the railroad. And in a dynamite explosion, they were all killed, so they were buried there. And I was curious about it, and my dad knew where they were buried, so we went there and we put a fence around it in 1952, but now the fence is gone and the place is almost flat, and it's hard to tell unless you know where you're looking for. And then there's further on Sage Creek, there is a place called Rustler's Roost, where the crows called the man who wears a wolf skin cap. And he had a place there made out of rocks. And he had a fortified place there, and he held off the sheriffs and all the authorities until one day a man called, I forget what his name was, but this man snuck up on him and shot him one morning, and then he finally captured his gang. Stuart was telling me those names, but I forget.
Teton Jackson?
Yeah, Teton Jackson.